Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, Mayor Bill de Blasio is holding a moment of silence at 2:47 p.m. Eastern Time to mark the moment those two NYPD officers were shot on Saturday. De Blasio has been trying to ease tensions with the police, who are angry at him for sympathizing with protesters upset by police tactics. Joining us now with a unique perspective on this is the mayor of one of the most African-American cities in the United States, Mayor A.C. Wharton of Memphis, Tennessee. Mayor, it's great to have you back.
Jeremy, thanks for having me back.
And I want to start by getting your thoughts on what we're seeing right now in New York City. We've just had the weekend shootings of two police officers in Brooklyn, and a lot of anger at Mayor de Blasio. The union head of the police union, Patrick Lynch, said the killings are in part the mayor's fault, that he's got blood on his hands for not standing up for the police. Let's listen.
That blood on the hands starts on the steps of City Hall in the office of the mayor.
Mayor Wharton, you're a mayor. You're also African-American. What do you make of that?
Well, as mayor of a large urban city in which the same kindling that gave rise to the fires in New York and other cities are right here in Memphis, and so we're always reluctant to weigh in and make any comment on what's happening in another city. We're all walking precariously, trying to just toe that tightrope between saying that this is America and everybody has the right to demonstrate and speak out, of which they do. But on the other hand, what is incendiary? What is too much? What are the limits? We're all so afraid. I talk to mayors all over the country, and we're all just wondering, you know, could it happen here? And we all know, quite frankly, yes, it could happen here. I guess all I can say, Jeremy, is that all life is precious. I am at a loss for words.
Well, have you ever faced a situation where you've had to struggle between standing up with the police and showing support for the police and at the same time reflecting the anger of community against something that the police had done?
Oh, yes. Two or three years ago, we had a situation in which a police officer, I believe, was off duty, was somehow engaged with a teenage black boy, and said the young man tried to rob him. And, of course, he was shot and killed by the officer. Then we had a horrible auto accident in which the police officer was in a pursuit that had been called off. And I think his car was clocked at some, just before the accident, 93 miles per hour, I believe it was, ended in the loss of life of at least three people. The public was demanding answers. I'm calling the family, saying as best I could that we regretted what had happened. But the police basically were saying, look, don't rush to judgment on this. Who are you siding with? So yeah, it's a tightrope that every mayor of any big city could potentially have to walk. And I suppose this is why you want mayors who are reflective, who learn that words sometimes can be just as lethal as bullets. It's just amazing that we don't have more confrontations like this.
Well, let's reflect on some of what we've seen this year. And we've heard people right up to President Obama talk about race relations in this country. Let's listen to him earlier this month, right after a grand jury declined to indict the police officer who put a chokehold on Eric Garner.
This is an issue that we've been dealing with for too long, and it's time for us to make more progress than we've made. And I'm not interested in talk, I'm interested in action, and I am absolutely committed as President of the United States to making sure that we have a country in which everybody believes in the core principle that we are equal under the law.
Mayor Wharton, how has Memphis responded to and taken in all of these various incidents? It's a city that is 64% African American.
I think the best way to deal with a situation like Staten Island or like Cleveland or like Ferguson is to do your doggonedest to prevent it. What, in other words, do some of the things that we're doing here. Our police director has what he calls a clergy academy that meets regularly. I have a faith-based council, and we call them in, and when we see trouble in their communities, we tell them we're going to have to do something. So they know that it's going to be more interactions between young black boys on the corner and police officers. So if you make sure that there's something organic in the neighborhoods that can perhaps serve as a sprinkler system, much as is the case in a building where a fire breaks out and the sprinkler system goes off before the fire engine gets there. Many times when the fire engine gets there, it's too late. Mayors in these instances are fire engines, and half the building is gone by the time we show up. Hmm. But if we, in our neighborhoods, create the social infrastructure, that's the best way to deal with it, is to prevent it, go all out. We call it community policing. Here's one of the things we discussed with Attorney General Holder when he was here. Now, does that mean it will not happen in Memphis? Absolutely not. But I would say never, never, never give up trying to prevent it.
We're speaking with Mayor A.C. Wharton of Memphis, Tennessee. You're listening to Here and Now.
Our big story at 4:30, it's the most wonderful time of the year. No, we're not talking about Christmas, but we're talking about those low gas prices.
And that is wonderful. The Mid-South is seeing some of the lowest in the country, and that's helping.
That is the top of the newscast at WREG in Memphis, Tennessee, a city that has had a difficult time making a comeback from the recession. We've been speaking with the mayor of Memphis, A.C. Wharton. And Mayor, this is a year in which we've seen a lot of good economic news in this country, even if things are still difficult for many people. How are things going in Memphis?
They're not as rosy as they are in some of the cities out west, Texas and North Dakota and all, where they've discovered fracking and all. But things are stabilizing. By that, I mean our unemployment is no longer increasing. It's still double digit in far too many neighborhoods, particularly the brown and black neighborhoods, but at least we believe it's bottomed out, so there is a sense of optimism.
It's about 6.8%, it looks like, overall in the city in November, compared to about 5.8% nationally.
That's correct. So you see, this is why we're not celebrating here yet. We've got a 27% poverty rate, so when you see 6.8%, that's particularly troublesome in a poverty-ridden community, riddled community that we have here in Memphis. Other more robust economies could absorb that without any difficulty, but that's not so in Memphis. So it has bottomed out. We haven't declared a day of celebration yet. We're coming up with more jobs training programs. So I would say the outlook is much better than it has been for the past 3 or 4 years.
Have you gotten what you needed from Washington?
Oh, well, you know, at a time when we need the community development block grant funds, they have been cut. But we were fortunate here in Memphis because we got other resources from Washington. We were one of the Strong Cities, Strong Communities program. So we have actual staff people from Washington on the ground here who've been of immense benefit. And if you look at cities that are holding on and growing, you show me a mayor who sits around his or her hometown hoping that the legislative body will give them the money they need, that city's not going anywhere. But if you look at cities like Philadelphia, New Orleans, Atlanta, and I'll throw Memphis in, we spend probably just as much time in New York as we do in our own state houses. Mayor Bloomberg has been really great. So we've had to be a bit more enterprising and just quit waiting on the federal government because, quite frankly, it has not been there. Our funding for housing and community development is stagnant at best and being reduced in many instances. The delays on the transportation bill have caused so much of a backlog here in Tennessee. So we've got to find other ways of doing it. Other ways mean don't wait on the feds. Go to your state legislature, get them to increase the fuel tax, and that's what we're doing. But to answer your question, no, we've not gotten what we needed from Washington, D.C.
Well, and as you say, you're a Democratic mayor who's having to deal with a state house that is Republican. You're in a very Republican state there in Tennessee. Just finally, as we now prepare for the changeover from a Democratic Senate in Washington to a Republican Senate in Washington, President Obama is going to have to deal with an opposition party in both houses of Congress. What would your advice be to him about trying to work with the other party?
Try to find out precisely what it is the people back home are asking for. And when you call them over the Capitol Hill, don't talk in terms of the Democratic way of doing this or the Republican way of doing this or the Tea Party way of doing this. Just simply bring it on down to the lowest common denominator and say, look, this is what the folks back in your state, back in your district are asking for. This is not coming from the White House. This is coming from the people back home. I hope that we can tone down the sharp partisan edge and kind of govern the way mayors do. And when I go to the city council, I don't go in, and I'm sure you've heard this said before, and say, I've got the best Republican kind of garbage plan you can find anywhere, or I've got the best Democratic way to run these parks. When I walk in, I go in and say, I was in Orange Mound last week. They need this. I was in Whitehaven 2 weeks ago. This is what they told me they wanted. Kind of folksy. But he's got to run the White House the way a mayor would run and just stay as close to the people as he can, project not from the standpoint of I'm this party or that party or you have a majority and I'm in the minority or whatever. The people back home could care less about who's in the majority or minority. When you do not get the funds you need to clean up blight or to keep a medical clinic open, I've never heard someone go back home saying that they needed surgery, but they couldn't get it down at the clinic there because there was a Republican in Washington. Hmm. It just doesn't resonate. That's not what happens in the streets of America. So I would go back to the Ronald Reagan days of reading a letter from somebody who wants this or who supports that. And just keep running it that way. You may remember John Sununu, who had a saying that it's only the people in the streets who read the words to the song. The people in the street just listen to the beat.
Hmm.
Get with the beat. You remember on American Bandstand, every Wednesday they would play three songs, and invariably, the teenagers would tell Dick Clark, you know, the words are good, but you can't dance to it. My advice would be to the folks in Washington, forget about the words to the song. Forget about the lyrics. The people in the streets don't dance to the lyrics. They dance to the beat. Pick up what the beat is, what the heartbeat, what the beat in the streets is, and I think he'll be well served and our nation will be well served.
Mayor A.C. Wharton of Memphis, Tennessee, with some words of wisdom there. Mayor Wharton, thanks so much and happy holidays to you.
Jeremy, thanks for allowing me to visit with you. Happy holidays to you.
And I have to say, quite a difference in Memphis in the last few years, as there has been all over the country. I first met the mayor back in 2010 on a reporting trip when that city was reeling from the housing collapse. Wall Street banks had been accused of what they called reverse redlining, going after minority homeowners and getting them to refinance into mortgages that were very risky, they couldn't afford, and went bust. A lot of people lost their homes. I remember driving through neighborhoods in Memphis that were abandoned. Well, as the mayor just said, the unemployment rate overall in Memphis now just 6.8%, still about a point higher than the national average, but some good economic news all around the country. Certainly welcome there in Memphis.